Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast, episode number one, the official episode number one. Maybe this is episode 1.5, technically. But I'd like to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen today. We got a short podcast here today, not as short as last week's, but you know, I'm trying to keep this in under the 30 minutes that I promised. And I've got an interview with Troy Christmas of Task Clone, which I did several months ago at this point. But it's taken a while to get the podcast going, and there's still some really great valuable information in there for those of you who have never really explored Task Clone. I'll kind of let him explain it during the course of the interview, but basically imagine Evernote, the to-dos you put in there from your notes, and then merging them with your task app and calendar and all that stuff. It's really great and magical what goes on there. So we'll dive into that, and of course I'll put the link in the show notes to taskclone.com. But one of the things I wanted to talk about right off the bat is to thank each and every one of the Patreon supporters that we've had so far. Next week, I'm going to dive in and actually maybe rhyme a couple of them off, give them the shout outs. But, you know, we're still, you know, dipping my toe in this podcast water, so to speak, at least my solo podcast. So I want to thank everybody that's supported so far there. If you go to patreon.com/productivityist, you can also support. You can support with as little as a dollar or go as high as you want, really. And that way we can start bringing, streaming possibly to the equation. Definitely some video, some screencasting, get better equipment. I can get a boom for this mic and have my own little studio space that I can record in. All that stuff. I don't have to worry about keeping the kids quiet while I'm trying to record. All of that. We can do all of that. The more patronage I get, I guess, is the... And also, you know, over time, I want to add regardless. And if you can't give right now, that's cool. Again, I'm only in the infancy stages of this podcast. So I hope you're just subscribing and listening. You can subscribe in iTunes. We're on Stitcher Radio now. You can go right to the site at Simplecast to listen to it. Lots of ways to get your hands on the Productivityist podcast. But what I want to dive into first is I've got three things that I wanted to talk about before we dive into the interview. Two of them are apps, and then one is a book that has just been released, actually, as of this recording date, as of this publication date of the podcast, which is Tuesday, September 2nd. First off, I want to talk about Meeting Hero. Now, I have a lot of meetings, but I'm not meeting with large groups of people. There's less meeting, which I actually quite like as well, but it's really robust, and it tends, for me at least, it feels like it's for larger organizations and you know, people who are doing a lot more meetings. For me, Meeting Hero is one that I've started to play with, and I really, really like it. It kind of allows you to have highly productive and engaging meetings. It's the one I use when my wife and I have meetings, and I'll put a link to that article in the show notes because that's the one meeting I have to have every week. But it just looks great. And because my wife isn't the most tech savvy person, she'll be the first to admit it. She likes this because it sends her like the agenda items or the discussion topics, but it doesn't make her log into the app, which she really likes. And I like that too, because I'm not kind of forcing her into an app that she may not be ready for or may not want to use. So I just create a list of discussion topics. I attach decisions to it as things go on, and she can as well. During the meeting, we can do that right as the meeting is going on. We can create action items. And then we just have open issues. Now, one of the things I'd love to see down the road is having the open issues kind of carry over to a future meeting, or you can copy them to another meeting. But I do like the calendar integration. So for example, I'll get an email every day saying, hey, here are the meetings you have lined up for today, and here are the discussion topics for each of those meetings. And if I've added those to that particular meeting, then I'll see those. If not, then I just get a big fat red zero saying, hey, you've got nothing to talk about. So it really does allow you to, you know, focus on the meeting itself and keep some captured notes and some captured, action items, all that stuff. I'm going to talk a bit more about Meeting Hero in future episodes, but this is just one of the things I wanted to talk about right off the top. If you're doing meetings and you want to just get into the habit of recording them in terms of what actions are decided upon or what you want to carry over to the future meeting, go to meetinghero.com. And that's the first of the two apps that I really want to talk about. The other one is built by a Canadian. That's right, Snowman. Snowman is, of course, the development team, quote unquote, Ryan Cash. He ex of Market Circle for a while, actually, and he created Checkmark. He's got other apps there as well, but Checkmark 2.1 has just come out. It's got snoozing. It's got improved recurring reminders. I reviewed Checkmark in a blog post quite a while ago, but I'll put that in the show notes as well. So basically, if you already have 2.0, you're going to get these updates. And basically what they allow is the snoozing means you can set a snooze, kind of like what Mailbox does with the email feature. So you can say, hey, I don't want to do this right away. So you can snooze it for a minute or an hour. Of course, the snooze function will remind you of the overdue reminder until it's marked as complete or even rescheduled. And you can have a default snooze as well. So you can say, hey, I want to snooze to all creative reminders. I want to be able to apply this kind of snooze to it. So I really like that option. You know, I tend not to snooze many tasks, but to have that there would be great. Recurring reminders, you know, they require a checkoff now to make sure that they are rested for the next scheduled occurrence. There's tappable actions now in the notes. If you're using a 24-hour clock, there's now support there. There's lots of things they've added in this recent update, and I encourage you to check it out. Again, it's Checkmark. You can get it in the App Store. iOS only, I'm afraid. I don't know if that's ever going to change, but check it out if you're an iOS user. Checkmark 2.1 has just been released literally a few days ago. And then finally, before I dive into the interview, I do get a lot of books sent my way. I'm actually going through Mike Rohde's Sketchnote workbook right now. Mike's a friend of mine, and man, he really wants me to get drawing again. He doesn't, but the book does. And then I've got Chris Guillebeau's new book, The Happiness of Pursuit, which I'll be looking at. That comes out at the end, actually a week today. So I'll be checking that out. But today, my friend Dave Ursillo's book came out. And for those of you who don't know who Dave is, I've had him on my older podcast, Productivity, before. I've chatted with him on numerous occasions over the years. His new book is called Big Apple, Black Sand and the Midnight Sun, A 13,000-Mile Journey to Live a Meaningful Life. And he's gone on to do some really interesting things. You know, he's written about leadership. Now he's doing some yoga stuff. He's had a really full life, and he's a young guy. So he has he's adventured a lot. I've met him, of course, at the World Domination Summit. And we've had a chance to, you know, connect on a few occasions. I actually saw him in New York as well. So it's a great little book. It is, I think it's what, like $9, the Kindle edition right now. And if you want to get the paperback, it's $15.70. Again, I'm looking at, I'll have the link in the show notes to get it. Good reviews so far too from people. So, basically, just to give you a sense of what the book's about, he talks about different moments of, you know, joy, stories of friendship, heartache, and firsthand experiences of he just really done a great job of kind of expressing his thoughts. I really enjoy these kind of books where they're not necessarily a total linear, you know, chronology or whatever of material. Like, you know, I like these essays, collections of essays, like Patrick Rohn's done it. A lot of people have, you know, the End Malaria, which I read, you know, the Seth Godin Domino Project book. I like these ones because if I want to sit down and read something, and if you like to read, these are great books for you if you don't feel that you have not enough time to read during the day, but you want to sit down and say, hey, you know what? It's time for me to, you know, get my read on or whatever. You can read these essay type books and just read a couple essays and then put it away. You know, just bookmark it and then be done with it. You can do that, you know, even on your Kindle or your Kobo or whatever you're using. So I like these kind of books for those times where I want to just have a series of reads and not one long read. And if you're looking to start reading again, these kind of books are great for that because they start to build that habit up again of, hey, I want to read regularly. And I've been able to read a lot more, especially with apps like Blinkist and, of course, you know, using tools like Instapaper and Audible with the audiobooks. But these types of books, the essay style books, are really quite, they kind of are a gateway to building a reading habit. So if you're looking for a book that allows you to kind of do that, then I would check out Dave's new book, Big Apple, Black Sand and the Midnight Sun, A 13,000-Mile Journey. I don't know how many kilometers that is, to live a meaningful life. Thanks again to Dave for sharing this with me, and I hope you check it out again. I'll have the link in the show notes. Now, we're going to dive into this interview, okay? And it's with Troy Christmas of Task Clone. Now, for those of you who have, Task Clone's been around for a while. And basically, you know, you can take it with you wherever you go. You can use any Evernote app. There are 40 plus apps that you can send this thing to. So if you're using different task management apps, you can send it to Asana. You can send it to Google Calendar. I'm going to look right now, and I'm fairly certain. Oh, yeah, there it is. Todoist right there. This, of course, is my app of choice. There's email registration to do that. And for those OmniFocus fans, is OmniFocus supported? Boom, 40 plus apps, and of course Google Calendar as well. So if you're still into using your calendar along with your to-dos and your notes in Evernote, it's fantastic. Now they do have tiered plans. There's the free Evernote only plan, then there's the Sleep Easy plan, which is $11.95 per year. It's a limited time offering. And then there's Peace of Mind plan, which is the premium plan, $15.95 a year. Now the difference is, of course, is that you can send in Evernote, you can send unlimited to-dos to one Evernote note, because that's what's happening, is you're sending them from the task app to the Evernote note. In the Sleep Easy plan, you can send unlimited to-dos to one task app or note. And then the premium plan, you can send unlimited to-dos to five task apps. So if you're using multiple ones, for example, I've had used Todoist for my own stuff as well as with my wife and some of my coaching clients. And then I'm using Asana for other things, such as Do Better with Asana with Jeremy and some stuff I'm doing with my MailChimp guy and all that stuff. And then you can also send unlimited to-dos as events to one Google Calendar if that's something that you want to do. But I'm going to let Troy talk a little bit more about this during our conversation. And I'll be back right after that interview. So here you go. Here's Troy Christmas of Task Clone here on the Productivityist Podcast. All right. I'd like to welcome Troy Christmas of Task Clone to the Productivityist Podcast. Troy, thanks for joining me today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So I've been, you know, keeping my eye on Task Clone for a while. I know we've had a bit of an email exchange back and forth. But for those who are not, for those listening that aren't aware of what Task Clone is, I know you're working on 2.0 right now, but what is Task Clone? What's the elevator pitch? What can you tell people about why they should dive into to Task Clone as it stands?
Sure. Task Clone gets your tasks out of Evernote and into a more robust task system, whether it be Asana, Todoist, Tootledo. And it frankly helps you stop forgetting the tasks that you have in your notes.
Now, one of the things that I've always said about Evernote, when people ask me, they go, "Oh, well, can I use Evernote to manage my tasks?" My answer has always been no, because, you know, it's not, to me, it's a digital filing cabinet. It's more of an informational storage unit than a task storage unit. But what Task Clone seems to do is bridge that gap, right?
Absolutely. The way I like to say it is Task Clone allows the singers to sing and the dancers to dance. So think of Evernote as a singer. It does it really well, but you wouldn't ask it to dance. And the same thing with some of the task and project management apps. You don't want to ask them to sing. They do very well at dancing, and that's what you want them to do. What Task Clone does is allow each one to do what it does well.
Now, I'm not usually a fan of services that are built upon other services, because we've seen this before with other, you know, I mean, Twitter would be a great example, right? You know, where people are building platforms on top of other platforms. But the one thing I do have to say about Task Clone is that you've at least picked the most popular productivity platform on the planet to build on top of. I mean, Evernote is really, I mean, it's pretty ubiquitous. I can't see it going anywhere. I mean, is that something that was a, when you set out to build this thing, obviously you knew that there was a pain point with Evernote, you know, and getting it into a place that's better to manage these kind of things. Was that something that was a concern for you? It's like, oh, you know, we're building it on top of this other thing. What if this other thing ceases to exist? Was that anything, did that come to your mind at any stretch of the drive?
Sure. I mean, anytime you're going to start a company, you're going to look at the size of the market, and Evernote's market is growing by leaps and bounds. And then you want to ask yourself, can I consistently add value in this space? And even with all the changes that we expect to see, you know, we have to project out changes in Evernote and changes in task apps, et cetera. But even with all of those changes and other services like Zapier and Ift, we believe we can add enough value to serve our user base and make them happy to come back for more.
Well, the one thing I do like about Task Clone versus, you know, I mean, there's lots to like, but versus like a Zapier or an IFTTT is that it's very focused on, it does a couple things really well. Do you know what I mean? Whereas the others are kind of, they build recipes and they have their own merits. I kind of like that, you know, it's the, hey, this is what this thing is meant to do and it does it really well. And it, the propensity of it breaking versus a recipe seems less, you know, less, I would say it seems more remote, right?
Well, and our focus is on providing a particular value proposition for people who are busy and they want to make sure that they're managing their actions and not just storing reference material. And so that's what we're after. That was the pain point that I personally felt that led to the development in the first place.
So you use it to throw things into your task manager of choice, whichever one that is. I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask which one it is.
Appreciate it.
But you also use it for the calendar component, right?
Absolutely. I had an experience where I was in a meeting and we scheduled a follow-up and I put the follow-up meeting in my notes and never went back and looked at my notes, skipped the daily review, and the follow-up meeting never got scheduled. A lot of people were upset about that situation and I wanted to figure out a way to solve it and I was able to put that in Task Loan.
The other thing I was going to mention, you mentioned meetings, right? Like this seems like the ideal solution for meetings and for a lot of people, because a lot of people are keeping their stuff in Evernote, right? You bring it, whether you're, you know, you're using it with Penultimate or, you know, you're using it's the Moleskine even, you know, I mean, all those things. Once you start to use Evernote as a meeting kind of repository, a task can really get the actionable stuff where it needs to go as well as the follow-ups where they need to go.
That was the use case that got it all started. When you're in a meeting, you're taking notes feverishly. You're trying to mark down different categories of things that you're taking down, including tasks. And you're not switching back and forth, particularly if you're on an iPad or another tablet. You're not switching back and forth to a task manager to track all that stuff. And so normally in your daily review or some other time, you're having to remember to go and put those in your task manager. And this just eliminates that entire step. You don't have to think about it. It happens automatically in the background. It doesn't matter what platform you're on. As long as you sync your Evernote account, your Evernote storage stays where it needs to stay, and your tasks go to your task app, and it links back to Evernote, so you can always get the context of whatever the task was about.
Now, you've got three plans here. Obviously, there's the basic plan, which is basically, you know, you send as many tasks as you want to an Evernote task list note, which is great for people who just want to kind of get started. I like the way you've scaled this up, is that it's got that whole simplicity and obviousness and scalability that I really like with tools. But I mean, the plus and the premium, those are, I mean, you've priced those really reasonably. A lot of people, I mean, you know this from spending time in the space, is that as soon as people see a price tag attached to any kind of productivity tool, you know, their back goes up a little bit. But I mean, this is, I mean, what, it's $12 a year, $11.95 a year for the Sleep Easy plan, and then $15.95 for the Peace of Mind plan, which, and the, I guess the differences would be the calendar integration for the premium version, right? Like you can send the events to Google Calendar. And I mean, you can obviously go to taskloan.com and see the differences. But this to me seems, again, it's that whole idea of when people break it down to like that, okay, it's $12 a year, that's $1 a month. Like,
exactly.
That's not very much. And exactly. You guys are integrating with like over 40 task management apps. Now, one of the things that I find curious is that, especially with the Plus plan, is that there's the syntax with the different apps. So how challenging has it been to be able to say, okay, what is a tag and one is a context and another is a label and another is a pro? Like how that's got to be a lot of work to put together to make sure that they all kind of, you know, talk to one another or talk back and forth to Evernote. Is that something that you most of your time is spent on in terms of user experience?
Frankly, it hasn't been. And the reason is we didn't set up defaults for many different task apps. And in version 2.0, which will be coming around in May, the user gets to do all that him or herself, and it's seamless. They know the syntax for their app, and it allows us to serve that need for a much larger group. Right now, though, if you add your task in Evernote and you put whatever syntax is available for Todoist or whatever your app is, it'll grab it, send it to Todoist, and Todoist knows what to do with it. So you can do that right now with any of the task apps.
This also seems like a great solution, TaskLoan, that is, to the people who are like, what's a URL scheme, right? Like the mobile component, do you know what I mean?
Right.
Where people are curious, like, how do I get this to work on my mobile? But I mean, the fact that
once it's in there, I mean, it does everything in the background, kind of like what, I mean, most people are using that with Dropbox and Google Drive and all these other things anyway. So, I mean, it really leverages Evernote and gives people that answer, what do I do with Evernote? Because that's a common question, right? I mean, I'm sure you've heard it. It's like, I've heard of Evernote, but what do I do with it? This really gives you the ability to leverage Evernote to its fullest potential, really.
It helps you get things done with Evernote. Storing and remembering everything is great and incredibly important, and I use Evernote daily for that purpose. But then I also got to get stuff done. I also have a calendar. I also have a list of things I need to get done today and tomorrow. And this helps you use Evernote to get through your daily actions. The other thing about the way that it operates is because it works on Evernote servers and not on the client that's on your computer, you never have to think about anything. It works automatically and it works instantly. There's no time lag. There's no waiting. There's no queue. If you put a task into your Evernote account and you sync your account, when you sync your account, Task Clone does its magic.
And again, back to the whole idea of basing, you know, kind of building it on top of another platform. The ones I've used, like I've used, you know, and this is not a slight against them, but like the Secret Weapon and Zendone. If Evernote changes some of the front end functionality, that breaks those things. But this, the way Task Clone seems to operate, and correct me if I'm wrong, is because it all happens kind of behind the scenes. It's kind of built on the foundation, which is something that Evernote's not really going to mess with all that much.
That's certainly our hope with respect to some things, but you never know. I mean, technology is a fast-moving area, but we've built it and we're preparing for whatever might happen. And as I said, we start the company with the idea that we believe we'll be able to add consistent value over a long period of time. And, you know, we've had to interact with Zendone. We've had to interact with others to make sure that our services work, and all of that's working seamlessly.
Now, speaking of moving fast, you're now working on 2.0, right?
Absolutely.
So what can you tell people about 2.0? What's some of the stuff that's going on side behind the scenes with 2.0? Is there anything you can share?
I'll say the three biggest things were, we make our updates based on our users. We listen to them. They tell us what they want and what would be more effective for them. And so that's our path. And the first was, right now, many task apps require that the tasks that come in via email, which is how Task Clone works, come in via an email address associated with that user's account. And so we've been using Gmail to provide that service. Well, there are many folks who don't want to sign up for Gmail, don't have Gmail. We're going to eliminate that requirement. We found a workaround. We're not going to get into the magic of how it works, but that's the first. The second is, for example, you take Todoist or Asana. You might have an inbox in either of those, but you can also have different projects. And so in order to send to the different projects, you need to be able, on a task-by-task basis, say, I want this to go to project A, and I want this other task to go to project B. All that's going to be built in Task Clone 2.0. And the last is that we've had a three-minute setup. I think in the original article you looked at about Task Clone, we touted a three-minute setup. We're going to take that down to 30 seconds. We want this to be so easy in the design of it that there's no friction in getting started.
Wow, 30 seconds. That's a brave jump.
it is a very brave jump, and the developers aren't necessarily all that happy about it, but it's going to happen.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned is the whole idea of the fact that, like, moving things into projects instead of your inbox and stuff. One of the things I like about this kind of building that you're doing is that it can scale. So for example, when I use it, everything just goes to my inbox just because that's part of the GTD workflow I work in, where it's like, if I'm capturing something, it'll go to the inbox and I'll process the inbox later. In fact, I've called my Evernote inbox, or my default notebook, my notebook is called inbox for that reason. It's kind of a trigger for me. So if someone is starting out with Task Clone, you can scale it up. What do you recommend that they do? Like, if they're firing it up, they're going to get ready to use it. What's the first things that they should do in order to kind of just see how it's going to help them without them feeling too overwhelmed in the process?
I think that's a great question. I think in large part, most of that's going to get answered in 2.0. But for those who are signing up right now, essentially what you want to do is find a task app that you're interested in using. Virtually all of them have an email address that task gets sent into. Create a task in Evernote simply by writing some text with a checkbox in front of it, add, there's a tag that you have to add, and you hit sync, and it automatically goes to your task app. I would say run a few tests for 20 minutes and make sure you're comfortable with how it looks. Don't try to use the Google Calendar stuff right away. It's not difficult, but you want to get comfortable. And then most people are ecstatic about the service we provide. We're usually responding to people in 4 hours or less. So if there's ever any hiccup, you know, just connect with us, and we're usually able to solve it in no time.
And so you can get Task Clone right now. You get a 14-day free trial and includes all features when they sign up. And then, of course, you can scale up, which you should, to the plus or the premium plan. And the pricing is just, I mean, that's the thing, is we're seeing people are if you're, let's put it this way. If you are, and I would say this for any app or any service, if you pay for, you're going to get what you pay for. You're going to get the value behind it. All these free apps, all the stuff that, I mean, they're great to a point, but when you want to really start to, you know, scale up and leverage, you know, and move forward in a more productive and even more efficient way, you're going to have to pay for it a little bit.
Well, I want to say one thing about that.
Sure.
We designed it so that it would work for the lifestyles that we have. We're incredibly right. busy. We want to set it up once and forget about it and just have it work. So we're not going to have an advertising model where we're in constantly in front of you. We're going to have you set it up. It's going to work, and you're just going to use it, and it's going to be in the background. You're not going to think about it. And in terms of the price point and the value proposition, we know that Evernote's going to be over 100 million users in the near future. And we know that we've got more than that if you aggregate all the task apps that are out there. That will be plenty for us to be able to continue to improve and make a consistent, valuable product for quite some time.
There you go. So support their efforts too, for sure. So Task Clone 2.0 is coming out sometime in May. But for now, Task Clone 1 is great. Head over to taskclone.com and sign up for it and start using, you know, really leverage the power of Evernote. And then you'll be able to go, hey, you know, I open up Evernote every single day, and don't just use it for, a beer cellar like I do. Troy, where can people find you, like, other than at Task Clone? They can follow you on Twitter, Google Plus. Do you want to throw that out there before we wrap up?
Sure. We're Task Clone on Twitter. Also, Troy Christmas. I have my personal identity, of course, on Twitter. And we're also on Google Plus. That's where we spend most of our time.
Awesome. Thanks again for joining me on the Productivityist podcast.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Thanks to Troy Christmas from Task Clone for taking the time to chat with me oh so many months ago. And I encourage you to check out taskclone.com and just see what it can offer you. I mean, a lot of people are getting into using Evernote more and more, and they're finally figuring out what they can use it for. That's been a big challenge for a lot of people. And I'm a big believer in using Evernote for reference materials and for storing information, research, web clipping, all that stuff. But, you know, if you want to really dive in and use Evernote for more than that, this will allow you to do it, you know. And especially if people are also using it for task management, you can kind of use Task Clone to kind of either shift away from that by, you know, slowly doing that. Moving things to the task manager, your calendar, what have you. But I really like what they're doing there. And thanks again to Troy for spending some time with me today on the show, or a few months ago, but delivering it to you today on the show. Thanks again to everybody for listening this week. I've got about 2 minutes left. So again, if you are interested in contributing to the Patreon campaign, please do. It's patreon.com/productivityist. This is just the beginning. You know, I'm just scratching the surface, like the very, very thin surface at this point of what I'm going to be doing with this podcast. And I've got more interviews to come. I've got Chris Bailey from A Year of Productivity, now A Life of Productivity, coming up, David Sparks, and many, many more. I also am going to start looking at more apps. I've got Timeful in the queue. I mean, there's so many that I can take a look at over the next few weeks and months and beyond. And I intend to do that as well. And of course, if you just want to subscribe, you just go to the Simplecast site. It's productivityist.simplecast.fm, and you could subscribe right in there or listen right within your browser. You can go to Stitcher Radio. There's going to be some there as well. You can subscribe in iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, leave all that stuff. And of course, you can listen to me on my other podcast with Michael Schechter. This week, actually, Schechter is going to be on the show. We managed to carve out some time together. So you can go, of course, to 5by5.tv/mics on mics. Of course, it's called Workflowing now, but the URL is slowly shifting over, or just find me in iTunes and you can listen to it there as well. And of course, the Productivityist newsletter is dropping this week. In fact, tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's dropping tomorrow. So if you want to subscribe to that, go to productivityist.com, sign up in the right-hand column. And I've got another post coming up later this week for the football fans that are out there on how I managed to get things done while watching football on Sunday. It, that's not going to be the title of the post, but it's going to have something to do with that. And I'm looking forward to writing that one. That's going to be a fun one. Thanks again to everybody for listening this week. I will see you next week. Until then, inaction speaks louder than words. Just remember that, okay? Take care. Have a great week.